Foundational truths of Christianity. There are seven of them, and we have looked at two. First, God. There is a God. He's the only God, and we know about him through, number two, the Word of God. So those are the foundational of the foundationals. But this third one today, creation. Very important truth for us as Christians, that there, that the only God is also the creator of all things. Very important truth for us, because the world and science is trying to tell us this is not true. And if it is not true, then so many things fall apart, which we will discuss. So Genesis 1:1, Mr. Scott, and we'll pray.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Amen. In the beginning, God. Amen. Those four words are the foundational words of Scripture, because they're the first words of Scripture. But if you don't believe those four words, then you're in trouble. In the beginning, God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would guide us in your truth. Teach us today. Stir our hearts about how important this truth is, that we might share it with others. And Lord, that it just makes us praise you more. So we pray you'd guide us and bless our time in your word. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Let's go to Nehemiah 9:6, Mr. Sharp, if you would. Nehemiah 9:6. And so the first truth of creation is that God created everything out of nothing. Amen? God created everything out of nothing. This is important, that he created from nothing. Only a creator can do this. Amen? Man can make things, but he has to make things from other things. But God made the universe out of nothing. And this is very important. So, Mr. Sharp, I was trying to give you time, you know, to find it. Nehemiah 9:6.
Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou hast preserved them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee.
Isn't that a beautiful scripture? He made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their host. So he's talking about the hosts of heaven and the hosts of the heaven of heavens. So the hosts of heaven, of course, would be the cherubims, the seraphims, the angels, Satan, which we're going to talk about. And then the host of our heaven, the sun, the moon, and so forth. And then the universe itself. And he made the earth and all that is therein. So this is a very important foundational truth of Scripture, that God made everything. Amen. Philip, if you could read John 1:3 for us, we'll look at some New Testament scriptures. By the way, that's talking about Jesus Christ, the Word, there in John 1:3. But it says, all things were made by him. So everything that exists was made by God. This is a very important truth. Colossians 1:16, Roy, if you could read that for us. Oh, I skipped Brent. We'll come back to you. Sorry, Brent. Notice, all things created by him, all things. So everything was made by God. Everything, notice it says visible and invisible. We can't see atoms, but now we know they exist. God made those. Everything he made. He is, and in Revelation 3:14, if we could turn there, Brent, if you could read that for us, Revelation 3:14. The beginning. Remember we read that in Genesis 1? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This says, Jesus calls himself the beginning of the creation. Of course, he is God. And while you're reading in Revelation, Brent, if you could read 4:11.
Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
So God's word is definitely not ambiguous on this truth, is it? That God made everything. If we don't believe this, then it has so many other implications about things like God's sovereignty. In other words, God ruling or controlling. If God didn't make everything, then God isn't necessarily sovereign over everything as the creator. And because he created everything out of nothing, it tells us about his omnipotence. Amen? But if God didn't do that, then it takes away from his omnipotence, his all-powerfulness, if you will. If we now attribute the power of creation to, say, a Big Bang, that takes a lot of power away from our God, doesn't it? If we give that power to create life, the power to create worlds, to an explosion, which is, you know, what the world, why do they do this? It's not because of science. They do it because they want to deny that there's a God, right? Which is brings us to Romans 1:20. Cash, if you could read that for us. And that this really is the heart of the matter, isn't it? Why does the world not want there to be a God? Because of accountability. They don't want to admit there's a God, because if there is, then they have to be accountable to him. So Romans 1:20, Cash.
For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, and understood by the things that are made, in his eternal power and glory, so that they are without excuse.
So God's word says that man is without excuse because he put within us a conscience. And part of that conscience is knowing that there is a creator. Amen? We know this. Now, we can sear it. We can ignore it, which is what many people do. But that doesn't mean it wasn't put there by God, that we know that there is a God. And again, we talked about this when we talked about the existence of God. Why is it that, you know, 100 years ago, when they kept finding new tribes in different parts of the world, say Papua New Guinea or whatever, they're always worshiping something. What led them to do this? What led them to worship something, to appease something, a God, if you will? Why? Well, because we all know inside of us, there's something bigger than us. There is something that made us. We can ignore it, but it just leads us down this path, away from God and ultimately to hell. So according to God's word, God created everything. Amen? If we don't believe this, if we believe what evolution teaches us or modern day science, then God really isn't necessary. It pushes God out of the picture. Things all came about through natural processes, explosions and evolution and so forth. God's word is truth because it came from the Creator, but if there is no absolute truth, then there's really no moral standard. There's no right and wrong. And that's where that leads. If we believe that God created the universe, like he says he did, in 6 days, 6,000 years ago, that's what the Bible teaches. But if we don't believe that, then we can accept that everything's millions and billions of years old. Do you know why they want everything to be that old? Brent, why do they want to be that old? Why is that so important to evolutionists?
Well, it excludes God, obviously. But
evolution takes a long time. That's why. And if it takes a long time, we can't prove it, can we? So it's therefore not science, it's a theory. Science is things that you can prove in a lab. You can prove through experimentation. You can't prove evolution because the theory of evolution says it takes literally millions of years for all this stuff to happen. That's why they want everything to be millions of years old, because you can't prove it. You can't test it. Now, we can look at our world and we can see that things don't tend to get better. They tend to get worse, right? One of the laws of physics, entropy, that things always go to a lower state. But evolution says things improve over time. that we went from a single-celled amoeba to man. That's quite an improvement. So you can see that everything begins to fall apart if we don't believe the first four words of the Bible, in the beginning, God. And then the fifth word, created. God created all things. And he also, as we know from the Genesis account, created all things to reproduce after their own kind. Right? And that he, which we're going to get to, made man in his own image. So, creation, let's go to 131 of Genesis. When God created everything, it was good. This is important. Kelvin, if you could read that, Genesis 131 and 215.
And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the seventh day.
And
215. The Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it.
Okay, so notice that God made everything and it was good. Amen? He made everything. Why did he make it? He chose to make everything, but why? Well, the answer is to show his glory. And God is worthy of all glory. Amen? So Psalm 19:1, Brad? Amen. And then we looked at Revelation 4:11, which says, Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So God made everything that he made because it brought him pleasure and for his glory. And then he made man. And this is one of the most important parts of creation, is that God made man in his image. If we believe evolution, then all of that falls apart, doesn't it? If evolution's true, man doesn't have a soul. If evolution's true, we don't live beyond this life at all. We're just animals. But if God made us in his image, with a body, soul, and spirit, then everything's different, isn't it, than what evolution's trying to tell us. Mark 10:6, Nathan, we'll talk now about man being created in the image of God. Mark chapter 10, verse 6.
From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female.
God made man. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. We talked about the word our, right? Why is it our instead of me? Well, we talked about this. God's a Trinity. Amen? Scriptures clearly teach this. And that first name of God, Elohim, is a plural name for God. That's why he uses the word our. But let us make man in our image after our likeness. When God made man, he made us in his image. Now, that has a lot of implications. It means that man is different from the rest of God's creation, right? He doesn't say that about any other part of his creation. Only man was made in the image of God. And the New Testament talks a lot about this. 1 Corinthians 11:7, Nathan, if you could read that. 1 Corinthians 11:7. He is the image and glory of God. This is God's description of man. He is the image and glory of God. And when we look at the creation story, after God made man, what happened then? What did God and man do? Anybody? Did they interact at all? Pardon? Yep. And after that, what did they do? They communed with each other. Right? God came down and fellowshipped with man. So the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God of the universe came down and spent time with the man that he had created. And from that we find that God created man in his image, but he had a purpose behind it, didn't he? And that purpose was fellowship. Yes, we are the image and glory of God, but God created us to fellowship with him, which is exactly what took place in the garden before the fall, isn't it? It was all about them spending time together, communing with one another. Up to that point, God didn't have any part of his creation that he could commune with like he can man. Now, he could commune with the angels. He could commune with the seraphims and the cherubims. But the Bible doesn't say they were created in the image of God, does it? And we don't know a lot about them because the Bible doesn't teach us a lot about them. But we never read about their redemption, those that fell. They don't have an opportunity to be redeemed. They're going, matter of fact, we'll see later, hell was created originally for them, not for man. The devil and his angels, it says. So man was created. Let's look at Colossians 3:10. Mr. Scott, if you could read that for us, Colossians 3:10. We're talking about God as the creator. He created everything, including he created man. So here he's talking about after we get saved, salvation. He says it's renewed in knowledge, this new man, which we understand now as when we're born again, our spirit is given life, it's quickened. And we have the new man, the old man's been crucified, the flesh. This new man, look what it says, renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so when we are born again, we are renewed back to the original, back to pre-fall Adam. We can now fellowship with God. Until we have that new man, which is after the image of him that created him, we cannot fellowship with God because the new man isn't there yet. He's in a fallen state, which is why we must be born again. Another one, James 3:9, Howard, if you could read that. James 3:9.
Herewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, are made after the similitude of God.
Made after the similitude of God. So right there the Bible says man is made after the similitude of God. So the original man, was he a caveman? Running around on all fours? Not able to talk, not able to communicate, eating raw meat, clubbing his prey. What do you think? Is that what the Bible teaches? Was the original man intelligent? Well, he was instructed to name all the animals. That's pretty intelligent, isn't it? He was instructed to take care of the garden, and then later on instructed to take care of the entire world. Right? To be the keeper of it all. That takes intelligence. He even had the amoral nature, didn't he? Because God tested man with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which means he had some spiritual capabilities as well. That he was tested, do I go with good or do I go with evil? So this is the original man, but the world would have us believe the original man couldn't even talk, couldn't reason. He was just an animal. But we don't find that in Scripture, do we? Matter of fact, there's a lot of, and this would take too long to study, but there's a lot of evidence that man way back was actually better than we are now. Because things do go down, including man. I mean, yeah, we've got some technological stuff, but God doesn't care about technology. How do we know this? When Jesus came to earth, could he have taken 5 minutes and taught them about electricity? He could have, right? But he didn't. Could he have taught them about all these other things that we've discovered in the past couple hundred years? Yes, but he didn't. Because those things, God doesn't care. He cares about us. He cares about our soul, right? He doesn't care about technology, even though we think we're just so special because we've come up with technology. But the original man was not a caveman. Again, this all stems from, in the beginning, God created man in his own image. Amen? And again, that has to do with God's sovereignty as well over us. If we believe this to be true, then now God is not only our creator, but he's also our judge, isn't he? And we're going to meet him someday and be judged. The Bible teaches this. Much better to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, my friend, than the great white throne judgment, where he'll be cast into hell. So you must get that new nature back that Adam had through being born again. So Adam was tested. Was anyone else tested? Jesus was tested in the same way, wasn't he? And he's referred to as the second Adam in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, isn't he? So this is all teaches us that in man's original state, he was not a savage. He wasn't a caveman. He was a man that had intelligence just like we do. He had a spiritual and moral nature just like we do. And the next thing we'll teach on is the fall, of course. But it's very important that we believe that God is the creator and that God made everything and that God made us in his image. He made us male and female. He made everything in the world to reproduce, right? After its own kind. And we can look around and it's still true. We don't see different kinds coming together and forming other kinds, do we? We don't see a dog cat. Has anybody ever met a dog cat? Why? It doesn't exist, Jan, so it's okay. And yet, we have dogs and cats. They get along all the time. And I mean, one of my dogs and my cat, they sleep with their arms wrapped around each other. But we've never had a dog cat. You would think after thousands of years, yeah, man's manipulated the breeds of dogs through inbreeding, but they're all still dogs, right? You can't get a dog cat. Why? Because God said everything will reproduce after its own kind. Now, evolution says just the opposite, doesn't it? Evolution says, no, all these kinds, we have to keep slowly evolving and developing into a new kind, which is exactly 100% contrary to what God said. Everything after its own kind. So let's read the account quickly, if we could, just to be reminded. Brent, if you could do that for us, of God's beautiful creation. And let's just grab some things as we go. So, Brent, if you could read to start with 1 to 13.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called these seas. And God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, the seed is in itself, upon the earth and was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day.
So about 120 years ago or so, Bible scholars decided it was time to insert a gap in between Genesis 1:1 and in Genesis 1:2. And the reason they did this was because at the time they felt like that what science was teaching, because of supposed scientists coming up with their evolutionary theories, that millions of years were required for it to be true. And at that point, they thought the carbon dating was infallible and so forth. And so therefore, they had to come up with these millions of years. Where are we going to put them? And so they came up with a gap in between 1:1 and 1:2 and said, well, the reason the earth was without form and void is because in between 1 and 2, God originally created a beautiful earth, but something happened and it all fell apart because of the devil. And so he had to recreate it. And there's a gap of, you know, a billion years in there, whatever. And so they did that so that they could accommodate what science was telling them at the time, which was that everything points to billions of years, millions of years. But it's just not there. It's just something man made up to try to accommodate science, which wasn't true science, right? It was just theories. Anyway, I just wanted to point that out. There's no gap. Amen. That's just something man made up. Also, we see something interesting, which is kind of a side discussion. And that is, it looks like that before the flood, that there was actually a firmament of water above the earth. And that would explain a lot, wouldn't it? It would explain where all the water came from for the flood, a lot of the water. It might also explain why one of the reasons why man lived longer, because that firmament of water would have protected man from whatever dangerous rays of the sun affect us now. And if you read about the Noah flood account in Genesis chapter 6, it says that the firmament came down. So, and it looks like maybe, based on Noah's surprise, that it didn't even rain prior to the flood. There was just always this water up in the sky, and it kept the earth moist. But then after the flood, or what caused the flood was rain, right? Well, where did all that water come from? And why was rain such a big deal? Well, probably because they didn't have rain prior to the flood. Just something, a side thing to talk about later. But God made everything, as we see. He made the land. He made this, the universe. He made the stars and the sun and the moon, which we will see. Verse 14. Carry on, Brent, if you would.
And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creature that hath light, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth, and the evening and the morning of the day. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good.
Good stopping point. Did you see there that God spoke to his creation prior to man? Anybody ever heard of the word instinct in animals? Where'd that come from? How is it that these animals just know what to do when they have babies? They just know, don't they? They all these things that they just know what to do. Nobody taught them. God put it in them. Amen? God gave them all that they need to reproduce and to raise their children. It's fascinating to watch. And we just raised another set of pups. And it's just amazing to watch how these dogs just know what they're supposed to do to raise, all animals, they just know what it takes to raise their child and bring them up to where they can survive on their own. That's God put that in them. And that's what it says there. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and let the fowl multiply in the earth." Now, I've heard people say it before, and it's so true. The only part of God's creation that disobeys God is man. The rest of his creation, they just do what they're supposed to do, what God made them to do, and that's what they do, right? They just do what he programmed them through instinct and taught them to do. It's only man that disobeys, which that's a whole separate discussion. So we get to 26, and he made man, which I quoted that earlier. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Does that sound like a caveman to you? Let them have dominion over what? The fish and the fowl and the cattle and over every creeping thing. Let them have dominion over everything. That's intelligence, isn't it? To have dominion over all of God's creation on earth. And so God made them in his image. And then he gave them instructions. Verse 28, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Subdue it. What does subdue mean? Yeah. Take control of. Exactly. Subdue the earth. This is what I'm telling you man to do. Subdue the earth. Now this is prior to the fall, but I want you to have dominion over everything. I want you to subdue it. And this is what I've given you, man. Verse 29. Every herb-bearing seed, every tree yielding fruit, it'll take care of itself. It'll reproduce itself. You just get to go enjoy the fruits of it. Now remember, at this point, God hadn't made thorns yet. No blackberries, no barberry, no weeds. Everything was designed to what? Feed man. Amen? To feed man. God built it all this way. And even when you look at his creation now, you look at things like, say, a chicken. Everybody enjoy eggs? Yeah. And maybe even just in your baking or whatever. Did you ever just stop and think, why do chickens lay eggs every day that aren't even fertilized? Has nothing to do with reproducing because there's no chicken there. So why? Why do they lay these eggs all the time? For us. Amen? It's for us. Why do cows produce all this milk? And their babies aren't even drinking it. It's for us. And why are flowers so beautiful? Why? So that the bees can enjoy the look? What is it? No, it was for us. Isn't that amazing when you stop, just sit back and look at these things and say, why did God do this? Because God created it all at once. Then when he created man, he said, you are now in my image and my likeness, and it's your job to subdue this whole thing. But I've given you all these things to feed you, given you fruit trees, given you the herbs, given you whatever you need. Built it all for you. Isn't that beautiful? And when we look around, that's exactly what we see. There's no evolution there. So this is a very important truth, foundational truth for believers, is that God is the creator and that God made everything. Questions, comments before we close in prayer? And so next week, we look at the fourth foundational truth, which is the fall. Yes, Mina.
Just notice that
Yep.
On the fourth day, he creates the stars, moon, and sun. They were not there, they'd still be there and night.
Yeah, that's right. And it's quite fascinating when you think about it. The day and night for God had nothing to do with Him creating the moon and the stars and the sun. Yes?
Just an aside, you were talking about chaos, hadn't you? I heard a little catchy kids thing where they say, you know, a brown cow eats dirt, eats the great green grass, and yet makes white milk. So it's like picking up on the colors.
I thought that if they ate certain grass, they got chocolate milk. You just ruined it for me, brother. Paul, you work in the dairy. Don't some of them have chocolate cows? See? Paul says, yep, there's chocolate cows. Don't spoil that for me. I thought there were chocolate cows. I'm kidding. How much did just your trucks collect? You were giving me numbers the other day that just blew me away. Oh, come on.
We do about 80 million liters a day.
80 million liters a day. Think about that number. That's here in little old New Zealand. 80 million liters a day coming out of these cows. Wow, that's a lot of dairy product. God made them for us. Amen? 80 million liters a day. I can't even imagine what it would be in bigger countries, but that's a lot of milk. It's for us. God's the creator. Any other thoughts or questions? So next week, the full. Very important doctrine, because without the full, then we don't understand what sin is, right? We don't understand the need for salvation, which will be the fourth doctrine, or the fifth doctrine. The fall is a very important doctrine that God gave man a choice and man made the wrong choice, which we usually do. And here we are today with a sin nature that we inherited from our parents. But we'll talk more about that next week.